Back in August, Texas A&M quarterback Johnny Manziel, the first ever freshman Heisman Trophy winner, was investigated by the NCAA for signing autographs for compensation. Manziel, like almost all college athletes in America, is restricted by the NCAA in terms of what he can receive, in terms of monetary and non-monetary compensation. Any student athlete who violates these rules jeopardizes their eligibility. But with college sports being a multi-billion dollar industry, is it right that Johnny Football can sign an autograph for $20 while others make loads of money off his efforts? You're listening to Upset Patterns. In 2009, Oklahoma State wide receiver Dez Bryant was suspended for almost an entire season for having dinner with retired NFL player Deion Sanders. Why? It was thought that Sanders was connecting him to an agent, a violation of NCAA rules. The examples go on and on. The NCAA's rules are set up, generally speaking, to keep the amateur nature of college sports. The players are students first and foremost, the argument goes, so to maintain the integrity of the system, we need to keep the athletes from being professionals. Here to talk with me more about this is someone who goes to college but doesn't play sports. Paige Atkinson. Paige, thank you for coming on.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, I don't play college sports, and I don't really see why this is an issue. The students, you know, they're just like anyone else, right?
It does seem weird that you have all these stories of athletes getting in trouble in the NCAA for something as innocent as going out to dinner or signing a picture with their autograph. They should be able to do that. The simple fact is that people want to maintain that level of amateurism in college sports. But of course, there are economic forces working against that. If the NCAA and these regulations weren't set up and it was just an unfettered free market, basically you would have the higher demand players being compensated more. And just like in the labor market, that's how you attract talent. A higher wage or better working conditions, things like that. But because the NCAA is saying that people can't be compensated in that way, you have schools competing in other ways, world-class workout facilities, or paying these coaches millions of dollars. One study by a professor at Drexel University concluded that the average Division I basketball player would be worth on average $265,000, and for football, $121,000. And it's important when we talk about the compensation of college athletes, we're pretty much talking about those two sports, men's basketball and men's football, because the other ones, for the most part, they're not revenue generators on their own.
That doesn't really seem fair. If they hypothetically were to pay these athletes, how are they regulating it? How does that work in the economic market?
Markets are this somewhat non-discriminatory force. It's really decentralized. So I can't tell you what athletes would get paid because they get paid what they need to get to be attracted to play at the university, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. Isn't there some version of compensation already in place?
It's true. You could argue that athletes are already compensated by the scholarship, which in many cases can be more than $100,000. They're getting a free education. They're also getting these world-class facilities. They get to travel the world. It is compensation in its own way, but it's not necessarily what they deserve.
So basically, players like Johnny Manziel are reaching beyond what is already given to them for further compensation?
When we're talking about the labor market, they don't always produce the results we like. One example is the market for body organs. It's illegal now to sell your organs on the free market if someone needs a liver transplant, for example, because we don't intuitively like the idea of the rich people having access to it over poor people. Or in the case of prostitution, which is an episode topic that we did before, society in general doesn't like the idea of people selling their bodies for sex. And now, when it comes to labor, we often have some discomfort with workers getting paid too little or too much. In this case, we don't want Johnny Manziel getting paid more than we think is appropriate. The same study by that Drexel University professor showed that the average Duke University basketball player would get $1 million. And I think that's uncomfortable to people because they're students. And so there are ways that we often intervene in the market to produce what we think are better results.
So basically for the NCAA, a $20 autograph is like a liver, and they don't want anyone reaching beyond their rules, I guess, for getting their own compensation?
Yeah, in the case of the NCAA, I think they want to keep these students amateurs. They need to draw the line somewhere, and sometimes it can seem really absurd. Selling your autograph or getting a dinner provided for you, those are all considered these bribes or, you know, trying to schmooze with people. And to the NCAA, it's crossing that line between amateur and professional. And we regulate different markets in different ways. So for wealth inequality, we can do progressive taxation, or there's unionization. For something like prostitution, we make it illegal. Same with the body organs. So other than making something illegal, we can also change the market by instituting regulations. One thing after the bank bailouts was that we control how much bankers get in their bonuses. And in the case of the NCAA, we draw a line on what they're allowed to accept for compensation through things like gifts, or also there are very strict rules against allowing athletes to be connected with agents, because the idea then is that they're entertaining the idea of being professionals.
The money is going somewhere, though. So who is receiving the revenue that these players think they justly deserve?
Football and basketball together, or all of NCAA sports, multi-billions of dollars a year. The Southeastern Conference and the Big Ten themselves have had more than $1 billion in revenues last year. And if it's not going to the players, then it can often go to these coaches who are getting paid millions of dollars, or it goes back into the university to expand scholastic endeavors or to less played sport. Since the top two revenue generators are football and basketball, a lot of the other ones are funded purely by alumni donations or through the school giving them money. A lot of women's sports or a lot of less played sports, that's where their money's coming from.
Hypothetically, if they did start seeking to compensate these players, how would they regulate paying those players you mentioned before that maybe not the biggest revenue generating? Do they still deserve some compensation for the work they do for the university?
I don't know what the wages would be paid like. Just like in the market for every other profession, it's hard to tell, and that's one of the benefits of a market. And so for a lot of less revenue-generating sports, maybe their compensation will just be the scholarships. And it's interesting to note that 1% of athletes generate 90% of the revenue. Johnny Manziel might be worth millions of dollars for all that he brings in TV deals and ticket sales and endorsements, but it could be that the third string punter for Texas A&M really isn't going to derive much gain for Texas A&M, and the market sort of will decide what is due in compensation. So if they really want him on the team, they'll pay him a wage that will attract him there.
How do you think this monetary aspect of their college life is affecting the scholastic side, the reason they're at the school in the first place?
That's a very good question. I think that's what a lot of people intuitively are against paying college athletes. It is true that when these athletes are brought into basically the semi-professional world, their academics take a back seat to it. Unofficially, there are lower standards for athletes. They're busy on the road or in practice. And so even though we want them to be athletes, the reality is that they're at that college to play sports and to bring in money.
Right. Do you think paying them would perhaps
perpetuate the issue?
Right.
I think it's hard to tell. Right now, a lot of them are going to college only because they want a shot at the pros, because they don't have many good opportunities otherwise. To me, paying them wouldn't perpetuate the issue. In fact, it might keep athletes around in college longer until they graduate or opt for the pros, because they are getting compensated. You see, a lot of the student athletes that are going to the pros early before graduation are because they just need the money. They need to provide for their families. They're coming from bad socioeconomic backgrounds. So giving them compensation could actually incentivize them to stick around longer.
But that wouldn't make them a student athlete. I guess I think of student athletes as coming to the university, like, why not just go to the pros if you're seeking money as your main goal?
So right now, college sports are in this really interesting situation because they're the de facto minor leagues for football and basketball. Baseball does have a pretty lively college scene, but really the minor leagues are where players get developed. The NCAA football and basketball is where a lot of players go to get exposure and to get this excellent training to prepare them for the pros. And right now, both those sports have age requirements for how old you need to be before you can go into their leagues.
Have there been any instances in which this has caused maybe a bigger situation than Johnny Manziel's instance this past fall?
So people, a lot of times when they want to prevent money corrupting college sports, it's because they want it to remain the sacred thing where the players are amateurs and you don't get these terrible situations that a lot of the pros get in. And one thing in the last 2 years was Jerry Sandusky at Penn State, where he was obviously committing heinous crimes against kids. And Penn State, it appears, might have not been totally upfront with what they knew about what was going on. And the reason is that obviously they'd be penalized by the NCAA. And so they'd lose a lot of alumni donations going to their football program. Their football program would suffer. And so it's this situation right now where the football program is so important in a money-making sense that they would let something like this be swept under the rug. And I think people then think, if you're going to pay college athletes, it's only going to make the situation worse. And it's hard to tell because it's a multi-billion dollar industry right now, whether you're paying the players or not. Along those lines, because it's a multi-billion dollar industry, you sort of have to think, why are the athletes the only ones not allowed to get money? If you have these coaches and you have these sporting brands and the TV deals, why aren't the actual laborers, the ones that are playing, why aren't they getting compensated?
Wouldn't you argue they are getting compensated by being able to use the facilities, attend the school, get to experience everything that comes with a top-ranked university, the professors, the facilities?
It's very true. Obviously, 4 years of college education, especially with how expensive it is right now, the ability to travel around the country, those are great things when you're between 18 and 22. And those can't really be neglected in this argument, but you know, there's this arbitrary cap that says that's the only compensation they can get. And I think when you're talking about wages, it's not as easy to understand what the players deserve, but then go to endorsements. So Texas A&M or whatever brand names might sponsor them, they can put Johnny Manziel's name on the back of his jersey and sell it for, you know, get millions of dollars from it, and he can't get a penny of it. And so they're really prostituting out his name and likeness, and he signs over his right when he signs his scholarship. He signs over his right to get any of that money. And along those lines, about 50 years ago, Oscar Robertson and Bill Russell were playing college basketball, and obviously have since gone on to have NBA careers, very successful. Right now, they're suing the NCAA because they are still selling their likeness in endorsements and everything, and Russell and Robertson are not getting any money for it.
Can you put a price on the university starting point for those two players? They would not have had the opportunity to go pro if they hadn't attended the university that hosted them.
The playing in college sports, kind of like you said before, it provides exposure. You're being trained by really skilled coaches, getting these facilities that outside of the college experience wouldn't happen. But you could say then that LeBron James shouldn't get paid anything because the Miami Heat's coach is really good. You know, they've got great facilities, great doctors. But obviously, at some point, it's a very mutual exchange, as with any employer. So you're providing a service to your employer is providing service to you, and the wage is just something in the exchange.
So how would you explain a booster? Private funds from separate entities other than the university. How does the NCAA regulate that? For instance, the Dez Bryant dinner.
Dez Bryant had a dinner with Deion Sanders, and allegedly he didn't even eat anything. That was made in a legal case. I think it's really funny. He just showed up at the house. It is really hard to enforce, and the NCAA is notorious for having a weak hand with so many college athletes. It's hard to keep track of everything they're doing. But they still make this rule because whether the compensation is coming from the university or university donors or even someone outside the university, it's still considered compensation. You can think of if an agent taking an athlete out to dinner, they are grooming them to be a professional athlete, or just a regular guy is taking them out to dinner. The thought is then maybe they're helping them get recruited to that university in hopes of getting more alumni donations.
If the NCAA is having trouble regulating the rules they have in place now, how possible would it be to regulate payment towards these athletes? Would they pay them fairly, or would they just do it kind of randomly?
Well, I think the payment could be left up to the universities. They will pay their athletes what they deem is acceptable in order to attract them. Think of in a labor market, employers will compete for employees using wages or workplace conditions, things like that. Right now, universities, because they're only paying via scholarship, they compete by having the best coach possible or the best facilities. So that's why you get these Olympic standard facilities, really just absurd facilities at universities, because that's the way that they have to attract the players. And so there wouldn't really need to be any monitoring, because the wages would come out of these market forces where they're set, determined on how you're going to attract certain players to play for your team. You think that all that's needed for them to play for your team is a scholarship? That's all you need to give them.
So if they started paying college athletes, how would they attract the best coaches if these coaches were not suddenly the only ones being compensated?
They would compete for coaches the same way. So if you have a certain amount of, if a program has a certain amount of money, they distribute it in the way that they best see fit as a combination of facilities, the coaches, the players, etc., in the same way that a professional sports team does. It's just one more unit in the whole machine of the program. Just an interesting fact is that of the 50 states, the highest paid public employee in each state, 27 are football coaches and 13 are basketball coaches. And so that just shows you that really it's like giving hedge fund salaries to coaches. It's kind of absurd.
Once revenue starts going towards college players, would that have any effect on actual professional sports players?
So like the corresponding professional leagues, the NBA, NFL.
Right.
It's hard to tell because, again, the system's not in place. But if you look at something analogous, the major leagues to the minor leagues, the minor league players get paid a respectable wage. And maybe that drains some money from the pros. But right now, you could say the NBA and NFL are happy to have the system in place because they're getting this minor league system and not having to contribute to it at all. If the NBA and NFL players, their wages go up or down, I'm not too worried because I think we all agree that they get paid a lot of money anyway.
Would professional athletes have to start competing with college-level athletes for endorsements? Would that have some effect on the market?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, In the case of Johnny Manziel, it might even be that he would already be in the pros. It's hard to tell with football because, you know, they don't have a minor league system like for baseball. In the case of LeBron James, he never went through college. He never had to put up with all these NCAA rules. So he was already getting deals from Nike when he was a senior in high school. They will have to compete. And I think that's okay. It levels the playing field. In the case of endorsements, if you're able to push a product for one of these companies, why does it matter?
It's hard, I guess, because they still are students and, you know, even an 18-year-old student can still be exploited.
I agree. And I think that's an issue that people then push to keep these compensation rules in the books, that we want to maintain their amateur nature and keep them as students. Academics are first. But I think that whole student athlete term is sort of a farce because it means that it's a way to make the players not eligible for workers' comp. Like, they can't unionize. They can't sue for the most part. They get an injury. But then also, the term student athlete makes sure that they don't understate their obligations to the athletic teams. If you look back in the history of the NCAA, with some court cases, they crafted this term student athlete to exactly go around that. They want to have it both ways. They want to treat them as students when they don't really want to compensate them for their work, and they want to treat them as athletes when they want to make sure that they're practicing enough hours of the week and really committing themselves to the team.
So do you think Johnny Manziel was right for seeking compensation for his alleged autograph?
I mean, the guy is bringing in millions of dollars to A&M and to CBS, and everyone that's watching those games, you know, is there to really watch him. He's got at least two more years in college. I think he deserves to get a slice of this pie. What do you think?
I don't know.
I know you're a Longhorn and you might be a little biased against Manziel, but
There is a little bias, but I think that Johnny Football, as the first freshman Heisman Trophy winner, he has a big head, and I think that this is the kind of corrupt nature that the NCAA is trying to avoid all along.
It's a very good point. Just to sort of paint the picture, right now, college sports, and again, when we talk about that, it's mostly football and basketball. It's this multi-billion dollar industry. That's the reality. It's hard to change really how much revenue is coming in. So we can either make sure the players are getting what they might justly deserve according to the market, or we can keep giving it to the endorsement deals, the TV deals, the old coaches, and the schools. And then also, I think when looking at this issue, we do need to make sure that there are two separate ways to look at it. One is in terms of wage compensation. So should Johnny Manziel get $20,000 cash, you know, in addition to his scholarship? And then outside of what the school might give him is, should he be allowed to sign autographs or get endorsements, things that are, they're not going to drain money from the school system, the other athletic programs or academics. So I think those are two separate issues that do go hand in hand.
Well, in response to the first part of that debate, I just can't help but think of the poor women's athletic team or the little golfer who is putting in the hours, but by compensating these more popular athletes would not receive funds from the university like you said before.
Totally. And especially with Title IX, it's hard to tell if you compensate these male athletes, will you have to compensate female athletes with the same total amount? And that's something unclear legally how it would settle out. In addition to that, right now, very few football or basketball programs actually break even. Something like University of Texas definitely does, or Notre Dame. But for most programs, they actually make a loss. And the reason that they exist is because they would make an even bigger loss if they had no program at all. If you think of where a lot of schools get their money from, it's alumni donations. And so if you take away the football program, you're going to lose even more money. Personally, you know, when I was growing up, I knew of a lot of colleges. There were basically the Ivy Leagues, and then there were the ones with good sports teams. And so having these programs does give you good exposure. And even if you run this operating loss, getting rid of your team would lose you even more money. If you remove this restriction and, you know, athletes are sort of expecting compensation, it could drain even more money away from the colleges. It's hard to tell because we don't know, because the system's not in place.
Right. I mean, even enrollment numbers could go down if there were no huge winning sports team.
Yeah, a lot of colleges depend a lot on their teams for exposure and all that school spirit. I mean, there are a lot of factors at play there. So we've got the issue sort of sorted out now. You have all the pros and cons against compensating, both in terms of wages and endorsements. But really, at the bottom of all this is the NCAA. It's this odd monopolistic organization that isn't really providing a benefit to the schools. The schools can largely operate these programs and make their schedules on their own. And so there is this argument that the NCAA should be reformed.
I'm not sure how they choose these rules because I've never played college sports. I'm not even in the position of being an athlete, but they might want to take a look and see what kind of supply and demand is at place inside these university athletic facilities.
Totally. I think that these rules are set up arbitrarily. The NCAA wants to get these TV deals. They want all the money for themselves, or they want it for the program, so they have this vested interest to keep the status quo. And there are some court cases, like with Oscar Robertson and Bill Russell against the NCAA, and then also some old football players that say, you can't license our likeness to EA Sports for video games, and we're not getting anything. So it'll be interesting to see with all these pending court cases if the NCAA's power is weakened and what the outcome will be in terms of compensating athletes.
Well, Johnny Manziel might win after all then.
Gig 'em. All right, tonight. Upset Patterns is hosted by Will Comprell and produced by Paige Jensen-Slattengren at Tequila Mockingbird Studios in Austin, Texas. My guest today has been Paige Atkinson. Want more sources related to today's podcast? Visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/upsetpatterns. Your family and friends. don't include that.